Sorry, to good morning. Today's daf is Kuf Mem Tes. Kuf Mem Tes. We're going to start. Let's start from Kuf Mem Hey. I'm just kidding. We're going to start. Where did we leave off? We left off in the middle of Karma Pesach. Okay. Vahatani Ravoshia. Vahatani Ravoshia. So 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines up from the bottom. Right? So again, if you remember, the Gemara was talking about the Sugya of being Makdish an animal on Pesach. So the Gemara quoted two conflicting brisos and said that our Mishnah seems to say that you can actually go ahead and do it. So the Gemara was metarets the case in our Mishnah by saying we're talking about a situation where I'm becoming part of a chabura, I'm becoming part of a group, and in reality I've always been part of that group, and therefore they really included me as part of that group already before Shabbos. I'm just kind of solidifying my position in the group on Shabbos, but there's no actual real joining of the group on Shabbos itself. Vatan Raboshia. A person could go ahead and go to a shepherd whom I normally purchase an animal from. And what happens? I go to him on Shabbos. The shepherd gives me an animal. I makdish the animal for Karban Pesach, and I'll settle up with him after Yontif. So what do you see from there? You see from there that again, halacha lemaisa, one could go ahead and be makdish the animal on Shabbos. Hasam nami, the Gemara says, no, what's the case over there? Kevan deragel etzle akdush elemi ikara. Since I always buy from this shepherd, this is my guy, right? This is my shepherd. See, he already knows that I'm coming, so what has he done? He's already set aside an animal for me before Shabbos. And therefore that animal's already been sanctified. Kevan deragel etzle akdush elemi ikara. Vaha makdish katoni. Aye, but it says, literally says that you're makdish it. Hekdish iloi midrabanon. No, what it means is that my relationship with the animal is solidified. Alright, hekdish midrabanon, so to speak. I've elevated in status because my relationship with it has been formalized. But did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Vaham Rabbi Yochanan halach kistam mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan says, normally the halacha follows the stam mishnah. Utnan, and what does the stam mishnah say? Lo makdishin, you may not go ahead and consecrate an item. V'lo ma'arichin. Ma'arichin Rabbosei refers to erichin vows. An erich vow means when you pledge the value of a particular item to the Beis HaMikdash. Can't do erichin. V'lo ma'achrimim. No charam, no charim vows. V'lo ma'agbiin trumos ha'maisros. And you can't go ahead and separate out trumos ha'maisros. So the Gemara says, kol elu b'yom, the Mishnah is bright, the Mishnah says, kol elu b'yom tov amru, this is all said in Yom Tov, kavachomer b'shabbos, all the more so on Shabbos. So how can Rabbi Yochanan say that this is, then you can consecrate? After Rabbi Yochanan says, halach kistan Mishnah, and the stan Mishnah says you can't, lo kashya, it's not a contradiction, why not? Kan b'chovos shekavu lahen zman, kan b'chovos shein kavu lahen zman. Here we're talking about obligations that have a fixed time. Here we're talking about obligations that don't have a fixed time. What does that mean? If the obligation doesn't have a fixed time, then certainly one can't consecrate it on Shabbos. If the chova has a fixed time, so that one needs the carbon, you can't consecrate it on Shabbos. That makes sense now with the Karban Pesach cases. Because since the Karban Pesach case is a situation of where it has a fixed time, therefore, at least according to them, you can be makdish the animal even on Shabbos.
What is consecration? Is that a thought?
Yeah, just a statement.
Just
a statement. Yeah.
No act. No, anything.
No, just a statement.
You don't have to do anything. You just have to do
100%. This animal set aside for Karban Pesach. That's all. That's all. So the Mishnah says the following. Mona Adam es Ar Orchav ve es Par Perosav. So we'll say another interesting Mishnah. A person could go ahead and, on Shabbos, this is talking about, count your guests in Par Perosav. Par Perosav literally means portions. So we'll say what he's talking about over here is, so I'm having company, right? I'm making a big meal. So what do I want to do? I want to count off my guests and make sure I have enough food for everybody. I want to count guests. I want to count portions. So the Mishnah says you could do that mipiv. So you could do it balpeh. You could do it orally. However, avalominak sav. But you can't do it off a list. Can't do it off a list. Okay. Look at Rashi. Avalominak sav. Rashi says in kasav me'erev Shabbos kach vekach orchim ploni uploni zimanti kedei shelo yish yishkechem. Lo yikra ba'osik sav b'shabbos. Rabbi said, what is it saying? I wrote down my guest list on Shabbos. On Shabbos itself, I can't go ahead and review my guests on my list. We'll see why. However, again, if you know your guest list ba'al peh, right? Mm-hmm. Good. All right, so you know your guest list bal peh. So then you could go through the guests like that, but not minaksav. Okay, says the Gemara. Weiter, it says the Mishnah. Mafis adam in banav in bnei beis ala shulchan. That's another interesting case. A person could draw lots at the Shabbos table for the various portions of food. So, right, so you could draw, I guess it's a good way to keep everyone engaged at the table. Right? Sorry, you drew the short straw. Right?
And you could forget somebody on the list.
That's right. So, right, so you draw a lot. You could draw lots at the table on Shabbos, as long as what? As long as you're not drawing lots for one gets a bigger piece and one gets a smaller piece. Meaning, so as long as the drawing is for random portions of food, or all the portions of food are equal, you could draw lots of Shabbos. We'll discuss, obviously, why this all is. I mean, we're not going to discuss why somebody would do this, but we will discuss what's going on over here. Look at Rashi. Mathis, lashon pious, a lottery. Matil pious, lechalik mi magia kol mano mana. So you draw a lottery, who gets this piece of chicken, who gets that piece of chicken. Ubilvachle is kavin lasos, Rashi. Shehu hamanos shavos. This is only okay if the portions are equal. Velote achas gedola v'achas ketana. One can't be large, one can't be small. Lezachos bigdola hazocha pigoral v'hamischaye v'apiagora l'ketana yidlena. So, okay, so as long as it's not different size portions, it's okay. Fine, we'll see why. Weiter. Ubilvad, good. Umatilin chaloshim alakotchim. You could go ahead, Rashi says, chaloshim are gorolos. Kohanim could draw lots about kach, about karbanos, be Yom Tov, on Yom Tov itself. However, avalo al hamonos, but not for the portions. We'll have to see what that means as well. Kuf memtes. My taima. What's the reason? Now, what's the reason for what? What's the reason? What is the reason as to why it is Rashi points out of avalo min aksav? So remember, the first statement of the Mishnah was that halacha lemaisa, if I have a guest list, I can go ahead and go through my guests, you know, in my head, but I can't go ahead and review my guest list from my piece of paper. Why not? My timer. Rav Bibi says, Abai Amar, Gezeira Shemi Yikra Bishtari Hedyoto. Excuse me. Rav Bibi Amar, Gezeira Shemi Yimchok. Rav Bibi says there's an issue that you may come to erase it. Right? That may, now, this also is actually very interesting. Look at Rashi Shemi Yimchok, Mina Orchin. Shelo yira sheyira shelo heichin lohem kol tzarcham v'yischarit shezimen yosem min haroi v'yimchok min aksav k'day shelo yikreim hashamish. So listen to this. So we'll say, apparently what used to happen was the following. Thank you. So what's going to happen? I'm going through my list on Shabbos, and it turns out, you know what? I see the Schwartzes are on here. Schwartzes are big eaters. I don't have enough food for the Schwartzes. So you know what I'm going to do? I want to erase the Schwartzes from my list. Because apparently, as Rashi's pointing out over here, I guess people did much more last-minute invitations. Well, what I would do with that list is I'd hand it over to my servant, and my servant would go and invite the people to the particular meal. So therefore, Bibi says that the concern with reviewing your list, minaksaf, on the piece of paper, is you may realize at the end of the day you don't have enough food, and you may come to erase someone from the list. Abai says, no. Gezeira shem yikra b'shtari hadyoto. This is very interesting. Abai says, we're concerned that if we let you read that list, you may come to go ahead and read other mundane documents. Now, what does that refer to? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, it's the same Rashi, just after the two dots there. It's three lines down on the wide lines of Rashi. Kol hani shemiyikra b'shtari hadyotos shomekach umemkar kamar. The Rabbos say, we're not going to get into it today, but there's an interesting discussion as to what the definition is of shtari hadyotos. Right? So shtari hadyotos, so Rashi wants to say, it refers to business documents. That if we let you go ahead and read this particular document, you'll come to read other business-related documents. Rabbos, I want to point out, there is a gzeira d'rabbanan against reading business-related documents on Shabbos, right? So, for example, one would not read the business section of the newspaper on Shabbos. One would not review their business papers. Why? That's a din d'rabbanan of gzeira shamayichtov, that a person may come to write on Shabbos. So what's interesting about this seems to be like almost like a second level on a rabbinic gzeira, that we're concerned about letting you read the list because you may come to read other business-related items. Now, Tosis argues on that, and Tosis says, it can't be business-related items, because what does business-related items have to do with a list for a meal? So Tosos wants to suggest, he says, Perish Igoros Hashluchos Limtza Chayfetz. Sounds like the wanted ads. Right? Meaning, so Tosos, Shtari Dioth, this means you're going to end up reading all kinds of stuff on Shabbos, and that's not what one's supposed to do on Shabbos itself. Fine. So the Gemara says, my benayu. What's the practical difference between Rav Bibi and Abaye? So Rav Bibi again says, you may come to erase it. Abaye says, you may come to read other things. So what's the practical difference between them? So the Gemara says, Ika benayu, because of our kosel midli. The practical difference would be if you wrote the list on the wall, but you put it high up on the wall. According to the opinion, who holds that we're worried that you're going to come to erase it, since it's high up on the wall, you're not going to erase it. Well, the mandam Rishon Yikra, but the mandam who says that it may lead you to read other mundane things on Shabbos, Chashinon, there's a concern. Well, the mandam Rishon Yimchok Nechosh Sheva Yikra. Aye, but according to the one who says that you may come to erase it, why isn't he concerned that you may come to read other mundane things? Vesu, furthermore, Lishama Yimchok Lo Chashinon. Is that true that just because the list is high up, we're not concerned that you're going, that you're going to come to erase it? Vatanya, but we learn. Lo yikra ala arhaner. A person should not read on Shabbos by candlelight. Well, sorry, we learned this many moons ago. Because why? Out of a concern of shemayata, right? You may come to go ahead and adjust the candle. Ra'ama rava afilu gavoa shtei komos, afilu gavoa shtei marta'os, afilu asara batim zal gabe zelo yikra. And Rabba says the truth is the gzera de Rabbanon applies in all circumstances. Even if what? Even if the candle is clearly out of reach. So Rabba's of the opinion that once Chazal said that you should not read by the candlelight, that is true even if the candle is not accessible to you, to go ahead and what? To go ahead and shift it and manipulate it. So if that's the case, according to Rabbah, even if the fear is that you may come to erase it, that fear should apply even when? Even if the list is written high enough that it's out of reach. So the Gemara goes, Ella, Ikebeha, the Gemara says, you're right. Rather, here's the practical difference. The Kosev Akosel Umisisi. What's the case? You wrote it on the wall, but you wrote it very low down on the wall. According to the opinion, holds that we don't want you to read the list because you're going to come to erase it. That applies if it's low down on the wall. According to Mandamar, who holds that you may come to read Shtari Head Yotos. We're not concerned. Why? Because it will say, no one's going to confuse a wall and the Shtar. What does that mean? I'm reading off a guest list that's on my wall. No one's going to extrapolate from that you can read all types of other mundane things on Shabbos as well. Read it. Why don't you read mundane things? Why isn't he concerned that you may come to a race? You're right. Here's the practical difference. The practical difference in the two opinions would be when you went ahead and you engraved the list on a tavla, on a board, or on a pinkos, on a tablet. So the Gemara says, according to Madam, who says that you may come to erase it, we're not concerned about that in this case. Why? Because it's engraved. According to Madam, who says that you may come to read other mundane things, we are concerned. But according to Madam, who says that we're concerned that you may come to erase, why don't we say, why isn't he concerned that you may come to read other mundane things? Maybe you'll say because people won't confuse a tablet and a board with the shtar. But we learned, Mone Adam Kama Mibifnim Bekam Bechutz. A person can count on Shabbos. How many is again for his meal? How many people he's going to seat on the inside, and how many people he's going to seat on the outside? The Kama Manos Osid Lahaniach Lifneihem, as well as how many portions of food he's going to go ahead and place before them. Miksav Shal Gabe Hakosel. As long as he's reading off his list from writing that's on the wall. Avalo Miksav Shal Gabe Tablo Pinchas. But not from writing that's on a tablet or a board. Board and a tablet. Hey, tell me, what's the case? If you want to say that it's just written on the wall, Ma'ishnahacho, why should it be different here? Elalav dechayik, rather it must be that it's engraved. Vekatani, and yet, what does the Mishbraisa say? Michtav, Miksav, Sha'al, Gabi, Akosel, Avalo, Miksav, Sha'al, Gabi, Tavlo. That it only works from writing that's engraved on the wall, and not from writing that's engraved on the tablet and the pinkos. And therefore you see that a tablet, that a tabla and the pinkos are treated the same thing as a piece of paper. Elo the olam the kos of akosel. You're right. What's the case? The case is where you wrote it on the wall. Umidli, right? And what's happening over here? You put it high up. Aye, but you said before v'dikashi l'chadirabo. Aye, but you said what about Rabba's point? So also remember, this was the original suggestion of the Gemara. That the nafkamina, the practical difference between the two opinions of Rav Bibi and Abaye, was a case of where you wrote the list high up on the wall. So according to Rav Bibi, there's no concern of Shemayim Chol because it's out of reach. according to Abaye, Abaye would still say that it's Aser, because there's a concern that if you read this list, you may come to read other mundane things. The reason we threw that out was because of Rabbah. What did Rabbah say? Rabbah is the one who said by Ner, that when Chazal said you can't read by Or HaNer, that's true even if what? Even if what? Even if the Ner is very high. So what do you do about Rabbah? For which the Gemara says, don't get so worried about Rabbah. Understand. Rabbah Tanoihi. The whole idea of Rabbah is the Machlokes Tanoim. This Sanya. Mona Adam Es Archa Ves Parperos of Mipiv. A person could go ahead and count his guests and count the portions of food he has orally. Avalomin Aksav. But he can't do it from writing, from a list. Rav Acha Matir Miksav Shal Gabi Hakosel. Right? And Rav Acha allows from Ksav, from writing that's on the wall. Hey Chidami, what's the case? Ilema Dichsiv Mitasa Lecha Shamim Chok. If you're going to tell me that it's written low down on the wall, why aren't we concerned? Maybe he'll erase it. Elav the kasuv midli. Rather, it must be what? That it's written high up. Ushmamina, the rabba tanoi ishmamina. And see that the entire idea of rabba. What's the entire idea of rabba? The entire idea of rabba. Rabba says like this, that when Chazal made a din de rabbanon, they made it a low plug. It applies in all cases. That's a machlokes tanoim. So some say yes, some say no. Some say when the Rabbana made a takana or made a gzera, it applies in all cases, even if the ikar reason is not in effect. And others say no. If the concern is not there, the gzera does not apply. What would be the nafkamina? The nafkamina would be this particular case, where again, Chazal were concerned that if I use a written list, I may come to erase it. Therefore, it's high up on the wall. So one opinion says, okay, it's high up on the wall, no concern of erasing. Other opinion says, no. When Rabbah's position is that whenever Chazal made a takana, that takana applies even if what? Even if the original reason is not in effect, and therefore would still be Aser. Shmamino. So we'll say it turns out that this whole idea of Rabbah's machlok is tanoim. Vahani tanoi kahani tanoi. And these sound like these tanoim. This anyo. Ein ron b'marah b'shabbos. We'll say it's actually an interesting case. You can't use a mirror on Shabbos. Okay, no, don't, wait a second. Stay for a few more minutes. Right? Ein ron marah b'shabbos. Okay, you can't use a mirror on Shabbos. Rabbi Meir amater b'marah hakavua b'kosel. Rabbi Meir says it's mutter as long as the mirror is affixed to the wall. What's the pshat? So the verse says, Maishna kavua b'kosel. Adahalki b'halki mitkash yankavua. So we'll say, what's the concern? The concern is that if a person is looking in the mirror, they're going to see that there are a couple of stray hairs. And what's going to happen? They're going to run and get the scissors and trim a little bit. So therefore, the Gemara says, if the mirror is affixed to the wall, so because, again, they're not holding it in their hand, they can't just move, by the time they go and come back, they'll realize, oh, it's Shabbos, and they won't cut the hair. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Shena kavuanami ad hachi b'hachi mitgar. But even if the mirror is not fixed in the wall, you're still going to have to go get the scissors in the couple of moments that it takes to remember that it's Shabbos. So the Gemara says, no, what are we talking about? It's actually very interesting. Bemara shel mateches askinon. What are we talking about over here? A metal mirror. Ukid Rav Nachman. Amar Abba Baravua. The Amar Rav Nachman. Amar Abba Baravua. Mipnei ma amru mara shel mateches hasura. Why can't you use a metal mirror on Shabbos? Mipnei sheadam asui lahashir bo nimin hamidul dolin. Because a person would often take off with it stray hairs. So we'll say, apparently, it's a very interesting contraption. There was a mirror that had sharp ends. So what was the chap? That was the chap. It's like an all-in-one, right? So what would happen? You'd have the mirror. I'm not a good example for this. But, whatever. I have a couple of stray hairs over here. So, Mamish, what do? You turn the mirror to the side, chick-chark, and you're done. That's the kind of mirror that Chazal said you can't use on Shabbos. Because that's like one stop shopping. There we're concerned that in the immediacy of the moment, you might should have cut a couple of hairs. But stam a mirror, whether it's affixed to the wall or not affixed to the wall, because there'd be an additional process involved in getting the scissors and cutting your hair, that you could use on Shabbos. But this little metal mirror with the sharp ends, that you can't use. Okay? Interesting. So the one goes by to turn up on him. Ksav hamahalek tachas atzura, another interesting case. If you have writing underneath a tzura, writing underneath an image, a picture. So we'll say, we know it's talking about, like, let's say you have a picture, a painting or something, and you have a caption underneath the painting. So, or v'tachas hadioknos, or underneath a dioknos. What's a dioknos? Look at Rashi. Sala mahali tachas atzura v'tachas hadioknos. Kegon b'nei adam hametziyon b'kosel. Like people who not color, paint. They can paint. paint on the wall, chayos, mishunos, different types of animals, odioknos shel bnei adam, or images of people. Rabbi Yoro, shel maasim, like of events. Kigon, listen to this. Kigon milchemes David v'Goliath. Like people made murals of the war of David and Goliath. Mikosin tachta, and what do they write under it? Zo tsuras chaya plonis. What do they write under it? The caption. This is a lion. This is a tiger. This is the war of David and Goliath. V'zed diok nesploni opponents. This is a picture of plonis. So you should not read those captions on Shabbos. Rashi says, Asur likrosa v'Shabbos, Shema yikra v'shtari had yotos. Same theme. This concern that a person will come by reading these things, a person will come to read other mundane things on Shabbos. Okay, so the Gemara says, v'diokna atzma af b'chol asur. The diokna itself is even asur during the week. Now, l'istakyaba, to go ahead and look at it. Now, why? Mishum shnemra, because the pasuk says, al tifnu el ha'elilim. Don't turn to the elilim. Nay tamudo, what does this mean? Don't turn to el midatchem. Don't turn to those things that you make from your heart. What does that mean? El midatchem. Ela sheratem osim midas levavchem v'cholol shalachem. Don't go ahead and turn towards those things that you make from your own lave and from within you. Suppose that what the Gemara over here is cautioning is against the making of these images of people. That since, again, God forbid, one could at times turn to deify those things, one should just be careful with those particular types of drawings. We'll say, Lemaisa, we don't pass that to me. Lemaisa, we allow drawings of people. Three-dimensional figures are a little bit different, but at least drawings of individuals will be okay. The only difference will be, it's interesting discussions, if something was drawn for the sake of Avodah Zarah, right? But now let's say I bought it. I decommissioned Avodah Zarah. What's the status of that? So let's say, you know, we're going to go into a building campaign, and we decide, you know what, the Sistine Chapel happens to be, you know, for us, or whatever, we'll put a couple of Mugging Dovins. You know, we could. So the Shaila is something like that, which was originally made for Avodah Zarah. So then that, but leaving that aside, that, so the Gemara is saying over here, but even with human images in general, one would have to be careful. Fine. Vayter. Mafis Adon in Barav. You also remember the interesting case in the Mishnah that a person could draw lots with the members of his household. Right? So we're at the Shabbos table, we're going to draw lots for the various pieces of food. The Mishnah said it's fine as long as what? As long as all of the manos are shalos. As long as all of the pieces are equal. So the Gemara says, "In barnavim b'nei beso in, then acher lo." So it sounds like this is only mutter with your own family members, but it's not mutter with other people. Not mutter with other people. It's not mutter with guests. First of all, chances are, if you do this with your guests, they're probably not gonna have a repeat Shabbos meal together. But it can't do this with other people. So the Gemara says, "My time. What's the reason?" Listen to this. Ked Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Dam Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, b'nei chabura hamakpidin zelzev. If you have members of a group who are makbid one with the other. So look at Rashi. Makbidin, she'in mochlin u'mevatrin zelazeh. They're not mochel anything, or mevater, or give up anything one to the other. So what happens? Over mishum, inevitably, you will end up violating with them. Mishum midah, because of amounts. Mishum mishka, because of weighing. Mishum minyan, because of numbering. Mishum lovinu porn biyomtev. Right? So in other words, if you go ahead and you end up sharing your meal with a group who are very makbid with each other, that no one should get any more than the other, the Gemara says everybody's going to be watching what each other gets and what the other gets, and inevitably, you're going to end up violating all of these business-like transactions on Yom Tov, of weighing, of numbering, because everybody's going to be so makbid with what the other gets. Love and upor, v'yom tov, ukidivrei be'sila af mishum ribis. And it could very well be that according to Basila, you'd even get into an issue of ribis, of interest. Rashi says, "Ukidre Basila, dechayish shemayu yokiru chiti behavos kikaros af mishum ribis." That again, remember, so we touched on this yesterday. That when going ahead and taking a loaf of bread from one to the other, you could get into a potential ribis issue if the price of wheat fluctuates. The point the Gemara is making over here is, if you sit down to a meal with people who are very, very makbid with each other, and not going to be mevat, they're not going to give up anything that they feel entitled to, one is going to end up violating all of these different halachos related, the rabbinically related halachos on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi banavu bnei beso nami." So if that's the case, then why wouldn't we be concerned with this within a family as well? To which the Gemara says, "Banav ubnei beso hainu taima kidrad Yehuda amarav." Dam Rav Yehuda Amarav, listen to this. Mutter lahavos banav ubnei beiso beribis. You are permitted to lend your family members, your children. Nathan, you want to be careful with this. Banav are your children. Bnei beiso are the people who live at your house, right? People are supported at your table. You are permitted to go ahead and lend them with interest. Why? Kedei lahat iman tam ribis. In order to allow them to taste the taste of interest. What does that mean? Well, it's an interesting idea that you are permitted to al tzchinuch. You can lend your children with interest in order that they be sensitized to the difficulty of interest, and in order that they know not to do this to others going forward. Okay, ihachi mana gedola kineged mana ketana nami. We don't pass in that way, right? So if that's the case, then why does the Mishnah Dafka say? Well, she just tell you. It's an interesting, it's not our discussion for today, but it is an interesting chinuch methodology that there is the notion, and you see this many times throughout the works of Chazal, that Chazal were very anti-coddling, that they felt that tough love was, a tough love within moderation is a very important chinuch tool. Because Chazal understood if you coddle your child, you are putting them at a disadvantage because you are not preparing them for the realities of the world. If you go ahead, and again, that's why Chazal quote the pasuk in Maseches Makos, right? Yisor banecha v'yanichecha v'yitim adon l'nafshecha. Chastise your son, and give him chinuch, and he will give great delight to your soul. The idea there, Chazal happened to actually be talking about hitting a child, because again, that was societally what was accepted. Lav dafka that works today. A very different generation, but the point that Chazal were making was that halacha lemaisa, person, don't coddle your child. What does it mean that you should go out and lend them with interest? What does it mean? I should break my kid's piggy bank, right? And say, come on, kid, that chicken was $2.50, pay up. No, but what it's saying is that again, teach your child. Toughen your child a little bit, because the world is a tough place, and if they go in there all spoiled and coddled, they're going to fall on their face, and they're not going to know how to get back up. Okay, back to the Gemara. So says the Gemara like this: Ihalki mana gidol kineged mana ketana nami. So what do you do? So then, why doesn't the Mishnah allow you to go ahead? Remember, what did the Mishnah say? You could do this whole lottery thing with your family on Shabbos, right? But as long as all the portions are the same. But why? Even if one portion is larger than the other, we just said it's okay. Why? Because you could even charge interest to your children. Right, so if that's the case, what are you concerned about? To which the Gemara says, "Ein achinami." You're right. This is how you have to read the Mishnah. Mafis adam im banav v'im bnei beiso ala shulchan. A person could draw lots with his children and with his family members at the table. Afilu mana gidol kineged mana ketana. Even if what? Even if the pieces are of different sizes. My time. What's the reason? Kid Rav Yehuda Amarav. Like Rav Yehuda's name of Rav, in Banav Vimbine Beis, so like Rav Yehuda's name of Rav, who said that you could charge interest to your children and the people who exist at your table. However, in Banav Vimbine Beis, so in, this only applies with members of your own family. Im Acherim Lo, but with others you can't do this, meaning you can't go ahead and draw these lots for different size pieces. Nai Taima, Kid Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Right, like Rabbi Huda said, name of Shmuel, mana gedola kineged mana ketana af bechol acherim aser. We'll say, listen to this, because you can't draw, if you are sitting with a chabura that's not your family, you can't draw lots for food if the sizes of the portions are different. Why? My taima mishum kubya. You know why? Because it's like gambling. Now, we'll say, why is gambling aser? Why is gambling aser in halacha? So it's not really merely, I mean, I'm sure there's a hashkafa to it also, but the halacha to it is much simpler. There is a concept, gambling is aser because it's theft, according to Chazal. Namely what? There's a concept of asmachta. When a person gambles, there's one thing that every single gambler has in common, and that is the expectation to win. Chanan, you said that too fast. Right? Expectation to win. Everybody wants to win. So what happens? It's not like when I put my money in the pot, I say to myself, okay, you know what, hopefully I'll win. But if not, you know, you should have much mazel, right? I hope you really do good things with my money, right? I wish you the best of luck. Mamish, when I lose, I push it feel like someone else is taking my money. And even though I say I'm mochel, in reality what? I'm not mochel. So because of that, it turns out that in reality, the winner who takes the pot from the middle is really going ahead and actually stealing from everyone else at the table who lost. So the Gemara calls asmachta lo kanya, an exaggerated statement at the end of the day is not binding. Because I'm not really mochel on my money. That's why Misachei Bekovya, that's why the Misachei Kuv, that's why the gambler, is pasul la'ivus. He's no different than a ganav. So what's the Gemara suggesting over here? That using this lottery system for money gidola keneged money ketana says the same thing. That what happens when I get into the lottery? What do I have my eye on? I have my eye on that that piece of chicken in the corner, right? That's my chicken. And when Chaim Yankel wins the piece of chicken, so again, I'm not really mevatir on that. I'm not really to give up on that. And therefore, again, even during the week, it's awesome. My time is shum kovya. Fine, weiter says the Gemara. Sachi kovya. We'll get to it. We'll get to sachi kovya avodah zara. About 3 years, maybe four. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. Let's go back to it. Matilin chaloshin. So remember again, the Mishnah said that you can go ahead, the Kohanim could go ahead and draw lots, it's actually interesting, could draw lots for kodshim, but not for monos. Right? For karbanos, but not for portions. So the Gemara says the following. My avalo ala monos. What does that mean? Not for the portions. The most thing is CC contradictory. If you're telling me that they're drawing lots for kodshim, for karbanos, the kashrus, that means for portions in the karbanos. But then you say that they can't draw lots of portions. What's the pshat? Amr Rabbi Yaakov, Breid Vas Yaakov, Aval lo ala monos shel chol biyom tov. So we'll say, let's say again, there was an animal that was shechted yesterday. Certain karbanos, let's say, have a longer window of consumption. So now let's say they didn't divvy up the portions from yesterday. So on Yom Tov, you can't divvy up the portions from a chol karban. So the Gemara says, pshita, that's obvious. Listen to this. So the Gemara says, ma'od tema. Holy looks at that, we'll say, why are the Kohanim in general drawing lots for karbanos? So the Gemara says very simply, uksiv v'amcha kimerive kohen. So this is actually very interesting. When the Navi Hosea rebukes the Jewish people, what does he say? You are like a nation of quarrelsome Kohanim. So I will say, we've seen in general that Kohanim are a cantankerous bunch. Right? Kohanim are a cantankerous bunch. On one hand, again, the truth is, it's actually not, Kohanim have very bad tempers. That's why, again, remember, when we saw in Amud Yomi again many years ago, we saw that's why they have a special get, right? Whereas regular get only require two signatures. A coin has a get, a kusher, multiple folds, and he needs a lot of signatures, because Kohanim apparently were ready to divorce their wives, because just like she burnt dinner and that was it, I'm done. So they had very short feuds, which I will say, by the way, it makes a lot of sense if you think about it, because anger, intense anger, is just the opposite side of the coin of passion. Shevet Levi is known for its passion. A non-properly channeled passion becomes anger. So the Navi says over here, the Navi says that your nation, you're like a bunch of angry Kohanim. So I might have thought the following. So that's why we cast lots. Right? Remember, we'll say the whole reason, remember even way back to the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah Yuma brings down, originally, whoever showed up for the Avodah in the morning, right, the Beis HaMikdash, that coin got the Avodah. Competition began. Do you remember what happened? Two Kohanim were racing up the Mizbeach. One pushed the other off. There was another time where there was a stabbing. So the Kohanim, Amishkat, like a little bit, it was like, Kohanic smackdown, So they had to go ahead and institute this whole lottery. So the Gemara says over here, I might have thought, therefore, afilu manos tichol nami. I might have thought, therefore, maybe we should even let them draw lots for the weekday portion. Since they're so cantankerous, let them draw lots even on Yom Tov for the weekday portion. Kamash malo, no, that we don't want to do that. We'll say this is a very, very, very scary but yet profound Gemara. Whoever is the cause of someone else's punishment, such a person is not brought into mechitza, brought into the courtyard, into the boundaries of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you're about to say again, if I am the cause of someone else's punishment, that in and of itself reflects negatively on me. Something negative happened to someone else through me in machnisin also mechitza shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Mara says, Minol, and what does that mean? If you say Mishum Dechsev, Vayomer Hashem. So we'll say now the Gemara quotes the very interesting episode by Achav. Right? Achav was an exceptionally evil king. So Vayomer Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in Shemayim, Mi Yifateh Es Achav, V'Ya'al V'Yipol Baramos Gilad. So we'll say what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and this is an interesting discussion in Malachim Aleph. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's time for Achav to die. Achav was an evil king, he was going to fall in battle. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, who is going to be the spirit? He says to the spirits in Shemayim, who's going to be the spirit that's going to entice Achav, the Ya'al, and he'll go up, the Yipol b'Ramos Gilad, and he'll die in the battle of Ramos Gilad, Vayomer Zeh B'Kol, V'Zeh Omer B'Kol. Vayetse, that is all the pasuk. Vayetse HaRuach, a certain spirit came forward, Vayamol Lifnei Hashem, and came before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayomer Ani Afatenu, and the spirit said, I will entice him. I will say, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was asking is, who is going to be the spirit that's going to deliver the erroneous message that Achav should go to battle in Ramot Gilad because he'll be successful? Now he was going to die in Ramot Gilad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking for the spirit that was going to come forward to give the false prophecy. So the certain spirit came forth and said, I will go and I will be the spirit of falsehood in the mouth of all the prophets. What ended up happening is, Achav has all of these prophets who begin prophesizing that he should go to Ramot Gilad, do war there, and he'll be successful. Vayomer Tefatef, God says to the spirit that stepped forward, go ahead, go entice him, v'gam tuchal, and you'll be successful. Say v'aseh kein, go out and do this. V'aminan mai ruach, who was this spirit? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, ze rucho shel Novos. Whose spirit was this? This was the spirit of Novos. Rabbi Yochanan, Novos was the owner of a very nice vineyard. Achav wanted his vineyard. Novos refused to sell it. Achav's wife, Izebel, who was a terrible, terrible woman, trumps up a false charge and says that Novos cursed God and cursed the king. They had Novos executed, and Achav took the vineyard. So this is the spirit of Novos that's coming forward to looking to get revenge on the king. Who might say, and what does it mean when God says the spirit of Novos, go out? Amarav, say mechitzasi. God is saying to the spirit of Novos, you understand that if you do this, you must go out from within my mechitza. What's the good word for mechitza? Courtyard.
Enclosure.
Okay. Mechitza. It'll come to you. There's a better word for it. Okay. The mechitza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara is using this as a raya. Dalar Amos of God, right? So the Gemara is using this as a raya. That what? That here you see that because Achav was going to experience a downfall through this spirit, because the spirit was going to have a hand in the downfall of Achav, therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, understand, if you do this, you can't come back within my mechitza. So the Gemara is using this as a raya, that if I become the vehicle of someone else's downfall, if I become the reason why something negative happens to someone else, there are negative repercussions on me for having been the vehicle of that other individual's downfall. So the Gemara says, Dilma Hasam Hainotam, maybe it's different over there, because it says, Dover Shkarim Lo Yikom. Maybe the difference over there is what? That because the spirit was going to speak a lie, maybe because within the mechitza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no falsehood could exist. God is MS, and therefore falsehood can't exist within the mechitza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the spirit can't come back in. Elamei Hachara, the Gemara says, well, we can see it from here. Savata kolot mikoved. You have decided to sate yourself. You have satiated yourself from degradation rather than covet. Shesei gam ata v'ha'orel. You shall drink together with the uncircumcised one, with the orel. And I will say, this particular pasuk is from Habakkuk. So what does this mean? Savata kolon mikoved. What does it mean? You've gone ahead and sated yourself from degradation rather than kovet. Zet Nevuchadnezzar. This refers to Nevuchadnezzar. Shesei gam ata v'ha'orel. You will drink together with the orel. Zet Sidkio. Remember, Sidkio HaMelech was exiled by Nevuchadnezzar. Chado, duklik krab Nevuchadnezzar. So first of all, the entire pasuk is referring to Nevuchadnezzar. Ve'od, Sidkia, my Havilei, the May Havilei. I will say now, what we're going to see over here is something amazing. Amazing maybe is the wrong word. Apparently, what Nebuchadnezzar did to subjugate all of the kingdoms that were under his dominion is he sodomized all of the kings that he conquered. He sodomized each and every king as a way, obviously, of just breaking, first of all, breaks the spirit of people when they know about this, right? It's such a disgusting display of degradation. See, he sodomized every king. So the Gemara says, makes it sound like what he did is to Tzidkiyahu HaMelech also. So the Gemara says, the Amar of Yehuda Amarav, B'sha'a Shebikesh Osa Rosh HaLazos La'osa Tzadik Kach. When Nebuchadnezzar was ready to sodomize Tzidkiyahu, so what happened? Elamehacha, Nam Enosh Letzadik Lo Tov. So the Gemara says, we're going to come back to the Nebuchadnezzar narrative in just a little bit. Rather, Gemara says over here, the proof to the fact that if I am the cause of someone else's downfall, that a person can't come into the mechitza of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gam anosh l'tzadik lo tov. It is not good for the tzaddik to see someone else low punished. To see someone else low punished. To see someone else punished through him. Ein lo tov el ra. Uksiv ki lo kel chafetz rasha ata lo yegur chara tzadik Hashem v'lo yagur b'megur chara. Fine. So the Gemara says, my mashma, the high chaloshim lishna. So also all the Gemara was just quoting over there is this pasuk that indicates that lemaisa, for the tzaddik, it's not good when negative things happen through his hand. It's not good ultimately when I am, even though someone else deserved it, it's not good when it has to happen through me. So the Gemara goes weiter.
The Gemara is,
I'm sorry?
So it shouldn't be an aid. That I saw him do something bad.
No, that's not happening through me. That's not, I'm not directly involved in that person's. That's talking about where actions that I do result in negative things for people. There I have an obligation to give aidos. I didn't do anything. You did it. He's talking about over here where something that I did, I maisa that I did automatically resulted in someone else's pain.
So the Gemara,
I'm sorry? God took care of Paro. God took care of Paro. Well, again, remember, if God tells you to do something, conventional wisdom is, do it. Do it. So if God is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, go and administer the makos, do it.
God put out a wine and three houses.
But this spirit stepped forward and did it itself. What happened if nobody would have stepped forward? Right? God would have done it himself. Right? So the fact is, the spirit of Navos wanted the revenge, so you want the revenge, okay. Just understand, you want the revenge, you're going to have to deal with the repercussions of that as well. And we'll say again, you just since we have this concept by the murder of Beshogeg, right? Why does the murder of Beshogeg go to the Ur Miklat? Right? After all, it was an accident. Because again, when bad things happen through you, that to a certain degree is a reflection of where you're holding in life, right? That's what the Gemara says, Megalgil in Schus al Yidei Zakai, V'chov al Yidei Chayiv. When bad things happen through me, I have to ask myself, why? Why? Right, correct. I have to see why. All right, well, so you know what? One more line that we'll stop for today. Amar Rav Chanan, Amar Rav Yochanan. I'm sorry, man. My mashatai chaloshim mishna de puruhu. How do we know that chaloshim means a lot? Dechsid eich nafalt mishnai hilal ben shachar nagar talar tchushim al goyim. Amar Rav Arafuna, melame chaya matil pur al gidoli malchus leida eza ben yomashal mishkav zohar. So again, Nebuchadnezzar conquered all of these kings, sodomizing all of them each and every, not every day, but he used to draw lots as to who he would sodomize each day. Uksiv, kol malchi goyim kulam, Amar Rav Yochanan, shenocho mishkav zohar. On the day that Nebuchadnezzar died, all of the kings who were conquered by him breathed a sigh of relief because again this terrible behavior had stopped. But Rabbi Yochanan called Yomav Shal Osa Rasha Lo Nimtza Schok Bepe Kol Beria. Rabbi Yochanan says all the days of that Rasha, no one laughed. There was no laughter in the world while Nebuchadnezzar was alive. Such an evil and dark king. Shnei Amar Nechei Shakita Kol Aretz Pitzchurina. When he died, right, literally Pitzchurina, the world erupted in joy. Michlal. It seems to indicate to us that until while Nebuchadnezzar was alive, such a dark period for humanity, that there was no joy in the world. We'll start over here tomorrow.